All right. Thanks, Sam and your team today for leading us in worship. Today, we're going to wrap up our series on mission. If it's your first time for this one, don't worry. We're going to recap just a little bit. We've talked about, as we started this series on mission, we've talked about recognizing, right? And one of the things we encourage you to do is walk with your eyes open. Walk with your eyes open. Actually seeing people as Jesus sees people. People that have a common need, the same need that you and I have, and that's the need for Jesus. We talked about our role as followers of Christ, as Christians, to be ambassadors, right? And what does it mean to be ambassador, to be His spokesperson, to be a representative for Christ in the world? And we talked about our God-given ability to be bold as we share the gospel. My buddy Luke was covering for me that day and preached and just talked about, you know, Peter and John that were just untrained, uneducated, ordinary men. And God gave him the strength and emboldened them to give him the power to share the gospel as provided through the Holy Spirit. And the same power that raised Jesus from the dead will give us strength and boldness to share Him. And last week we talked about how one enters the kingdom of God. An invitation was offered. People heard that Jesus loves them and they need Him and that He is the way, the truth, and the life. Today we look at what it means to increase. And this is really huge for us as a church, guys. Our goal as we are on mission is not just to have an incredible church, a great life group, right? An awesome worship team or a thriving ministry team. Our goal on mission is not just to keep the same faces, not just to keep the same faces around you all the time and have a safe, tight-knit little group, right? Don't get me wrong, community's good, but are we looking outside of that as well? Are we looking outside of that as well? And there's nothing wrong with having a tight group as long as you're not secluding others that God wants to bring into that group. You have these groups for encouragement, accountability, doing life together, for prayer. There's only something wrong with it if it hinders you from sharing the gospel with somebody else, right? And bringing somebody else into that. Our goal is to see lives changed as we're on mission. Jake, can you help me out a little bit? I'm getting a little bit of ring up here. If you guys don't know, I have ADD, and that will bother me the entire time. So, you guys okay out there? Okay. All right. So, our goal is to see lives change, to see the gospel of Jesus Christ spread, to see new people come to Jesus, to make new disciples, new followers of Jesus that are on mission. It's to see more people reached, to see our life groups grow, you know, spiritually and in numbers, that we have to start a new life group. It's to see more churches launched and more missionaries sent out. Our goal is to make the name of Jesus famous and to bring Him glory. That's our goal. So this morning, we are going to take a quick look at a familiar passage of Matthew 28. That's not our main text today, but we're going to start out there. Before we do that, let's pray. God, we come to You today. And God, I pray, Lord, that today that we would have our ears open to You. And God, that we would be open to what You have to tell us today. We'd be open to what the Word of God has to tell us today. Help us push back against distractions. And just, God, what do You have for us? God, so we pray, Lord, that we'd be attentive to that. In Jesus' name, amen. So one passage that we've looked at many times is a Great Commission, you know, out of Matthew 28. Again, it's not our main text, but I want to take a fresh look at this again, beginning in verse 18. I'm going to have a little fun with this next comment, but I'm a little serious too, okay? I want to make sure that you guys are tracking with me. All right? I want to make sure you guys are tracking with me. Let's remove distractions and thoughts that are taking away from what Jesus is saying here. And I know some people say, Pastor Jeff, I'll track with you in just a minute. I've heard this command, this commission 1,000 times. I'll check back in once you give me something different. And I can do that because my life is fully evident of following the Great Commission. If that's the case, awesome. I'm going to hang out with you a little bit, right? But if not, make sure we're fully open to read this for the first time or the 100th time. Isn't it awesome that we can open up the Word of God and we can learn something different every single time? And we can read the same verse and we can learn something different. So, thanks for letting me say that. Let's track together and see what God has. In verse 18, and Jesus came up and spoke to them saying this, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So we have a name that we give Jesus, that Jesus has, called Emmanuel, means what? God with us, right? He came, left perfection. He came and He lived for us. He died for us. He carried your sins, my sins. He even defeated sin and death in the grave. And as we go back to Genesis 3, where we actually first hear about the gospel, okay, and we see that Jesus crushed the head of Satan. And now He is, because of what He has done, He is placed on high and exalted forevermore. And all authority and lordship belongs to Christ on heaven and in earth. Amen? All right. And He alone has the authority to give this mission. So here it is, church. This is what we're doing. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So because Jesus, because of what He's done, He has the authority. And because He has the authority, we are to go and share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. We're to invite people into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Help them understand that next step is baptism. Help them understand that they need to be baptized, which is a public profession of their faith in Jesus. If you know Jesus today as your Savior, haven't been baptized, man, I just encourage you to, let's talk about that. That's that first step of obedience. So we see people and their need, and then we boldly share Jesus and His plan of salvation with them, and we invite them into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I kind of keep saying that invite part over and over again, because sometimes we get to that point and we get nervous. Right, we do this relational thing and we're like, okay, they know I'm a Christian. If they want to talk about it, then they'll bring it up. Bible just doesn't say that. Sometimes He might set somebody down on your spiritual Santa Claus lap, right, and just say, I'm ready for you to tell me about Jesus. But I haven't had that. I haven't had that. So if you guys have, I think that's awesome, and God can do that. But we've got to invite people into that personal relationship. And then verse 20, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So we disciple them, we teach them, right? So what do we teach them about? We teach them about our favorite sports team, right? And the best political party to vote for, okay? I'm going into the Greek here to figure this stuff out. We teach them the difference between Apple and the better PC, okay, we teach them which actress they should look like or what movies are the best, right? We teach them that Pepsi is better than Coke or that Jordan is better than LeBron, right? Or even the best style of clothing, right? We see that in Scripture, right? Come on, folks. No, we don't see that, right? We don't see that. We can laugh, but it's true. The things that we decide we want to pass on to our kids or those that we're in a relationship with, that we're pouring into, sometimes we forget to throw in there what Jesus says to teach. Amen? I mean, come on, guys, right? Let's laugh and have fun within this. It's okay, right? There's nothing wrong with saying that Jordan is better than LeBron, because it's true, okay? But that's not the emphasis. That's not what Jesus has called us to do, right? He says, teach them what? I wonder if it's up on the screen here. Is it up there? There we go. Let's read this together. Read this. Jesus says to teach them what? To observe all that I have commanded you. Let's read that again. Jesus says to what? To teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. So we don't leave them hanging after connecting them with Jesus, right? We help them grow in the relationship with Him. We teach them the Word of God, which means we need to be in the Word of God, right? We teach them of Jesus and all that He has commanded. And then that wonderful reminder. One of the greatest things that really allowed Jessica and I to come down here was the reminder that we're not doing this alone. For those of you guys who don't know, my wife and I moved down here a year and a half ago. After God called us to Tucson, we're from Kansas City, Missouri. A little different, you know, a little bit different. But we're grateful God has taken care of us. And He's using, we are being His willing instruments to do what He's called us to do. A friend and I were talking about this promise just the other day. And I'm going to go a little Avenger nerd on you here. Do you guys know what the Avengers are? Okay, so I'm going to go a little Avengers nerd on you here. And we were talking about the example, like if Captain America comes and says, like, here's your mission, go get it. We kind of panic a little bit, right? We freak out. And then he says, don't worry, I'm coming too. And then all of a sudden, we're like emboldened and we're ready to go and we're going to take on the whole world. Right? I don't know, who's your superhero? Chuck Norris, okay? Chuck Norris is going with us, okay? So there we go. Jesus Church is always with us. We can have fun with it because it helps us think about what Jesus is saying. But God is with us always. So while we process this idea of teaching, we're going to step away from this first commission and we're going to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you guys would turn in your Bibles there. Does anybody need a Bible? We've got a few in the back. If you guys need one, you can keep it. Here in 2 Timothy, Paul lays out a great model for what his teaching and discipleship can look like. He lays out a plan to fit along with what we're saying, to increase. As we look at this, please keep in mind our vision statement here at Authentic Life, and it's this: connecting people to Jesus, growing together, and living authentically for Him. So we connect people to Jesus, we introduce, right? We go in, we make disciples, but then we grow together, right? That's what we're here to do today. And we don't just do it here. We do it in life groups. And we do it in our homes. We do life together. So after we invite them into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, after Jesus saves them, right? We don't save them. Amen. Jesus saves them. There must be an intentional growing together. So let's read this. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Paul addresses Timothy as my son. I love when Paul addresses somebody as my son. It's important for us to see here because Paul is not Timothy's birth father, right? He wasn't even his stepfather, or adopted father, or anything like that. He was his spiritual father. He was his godly mentor. And to think about just as a father, right? I think about my kids and what my job is as a dad. I want to protect them, right? I want to train them. I need to correct them sometimes. I have one that's almost three and it seems like I'm correcting him like every 3 minutes, right? So I'm looking forward to that four. Does it get any better? Yeah? Some say yes, some say no. Okay. I'm going with you. You said yes. So that's my hope right there. But you know, so that's what we do as dads. And Paul, right, if you look at Ephesians 5, it says, don't bring them to anger, but train them up in the ways of the Lord, right? So Paul was doing what a father does in our lives. He was doing that with Timothy in his spiritual life. And he says this: be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He's telling him, increase in strength, be strong, not in yourself. We get really good with that, us guys especially. I'm not saying gals don't or ladies don't. I got told I shouldn't be saying gals, I should be saying ladies. I don't know. Is ladies okay? Gals? Either one? Okay. So we don't do it on our own or by any other person, but it's by the strength. We're strong and we increase in strength in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And there's a translation that I like that says this. It says, find your strength in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So don't have this drift towards weakness and towards the world, right? And we make it easy, right? I mean, well, the world makes it easy, but we just kind of allow a little bit more and we just get further and further and further away. But we're to be strengthened in God's grace. To Timothy and to us, Paul writes this. He's really saying we don't deserve really anything, right? That's what grace is all about. We don't deserve the strength that Jesus provides, but His grace provides it. Jesus gives us the strength, and the strength is given to us when we are united with Christ. And this reminder is encouraging. Check this out. By the grace of God, church, we can do and be what He has called us to do and be. Only by the grace of God, right? And by the grace of God, we can live as He has called us to live. I like to picture our walk with Christ as an offensive side of a football team. We as believers, we spend time, I'll get back to that in a second. We spend time in the Word, and you guys are like, oh, where are we going? Okay. We spend time in the Word and in prayer. We go to church. We take time to be equipped. We have our devotionals, right? And other spiritual disciplines that help us reach our goal to grow in Christ. In football, here we go. In football, the offense, they practice, right? They run drills. They run these plays. They study. They watch film. They prepare. They take time to equip themselves to what? Come on, guys. Wow. What is it? To play the game. But they want to score, right? They want to win. They want to reach their goal. And then they step out on the field, and not only they're not just having to run their plays like they were in practice. Now they're having to do it against a defense. Okay? A defense that has been prepared to stop them. And not just stop them, but push them back. Right? And so think about that for a second. We've done our studies, we're growing, we're being equipped, we're growing in Christ, we're going to church, we're doing all those things that help us get closer to Christ. We end our prayers, we close our Bibles, we shut our devotionals, we walk out of life group, we walk out of these doors on Sunday, and we face the world. We face an enemy. We face an enemy that not only wants to stop us, but they want to push us back. Why? They don't care about us. Our enemy hates Jesus. And we represent Jesus. But the great thing for us is when we are saved, when Jesus saves us, the Holy Spirit seals us, and we can no longer belong to Satan. Amen? For those that are new, I call Satan Jerkface. I mean, there's not a better name for him. I mean, I just get frustrated. Okay, but we can fall into sin, right? We walk away from our walk with Christ because we allow him to have a little bit of victory in our life. And then all of a sudden, we're not as productive as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We can simply be sacked and tackled behind the line and never live the life that God intended. We never get close to that touchdown. We never get close to the goal that God intended in our life. So we're to be strengthened by the grace in Christ Jesus. And I want to emphasize this. Too many times, we run on our own. Self-confessional, okay? We run on our own. We think, I don't need to be in the Word. I know what it says. I went to Sunday school for 12 years, right? Sunday school's a good thing. I'm not against that. I don't need to be in the Word. I know what it says. I don't need to be in prayer. God already knows what I need. I don't need to be in church with other believers. I. Leaving no room for Jesus. Leaving no room to be strengthened by Jesus. Verse 2. This is good stuff right here. Okay, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Timothy has spent a lot of time with Paul, right? If you know the word, then you know that. If you don't know much about the Bible, I'm just going to tell you, he spends a lot of time with Paul. Acts 9:15 says that Paul was a chosen instrument of God's. A chosen instrument to carry the Lord's name. So Timothy gets to hang out with this guy. He gets to watch him, be with him, and learn from a man specifically chosen by God to preach the word, right? In a specific way. We're all called to share the gospel, amen? We're all called to do that. If you said yes to Jesus, man, we're on board, we're on mission. But Paul was specifically called for a specific task. And he instructs Timothy here with this. He says, the things you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses. And if you've got a guy that was sent by God, I think we can listen to him. Amen? The truth, the teaching. I like what Paul does here. He says this, the things you have heard from me, others, in the presence of many witnesses, others can attest to these truths. What I have taught you is true. Ask the witnesses, right? I mean, he's kind of given some authenticity. He's confirming the authenticity of his teaching to Timothy. He says this, the things you have heard from me, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. In church, I believe that this is the most effective way of multiplying your life, your faith, and your ministry. To commit to faithful men or women the things that you have been taught so that they will be able to teach others. And I believe that this is a biblical model to live out the Great Commission. Jesus says, make disciples. Tell people about Jesus. Introduce them to me. I'm a pretty cool guy. I think they'll like me type thing, right? Not everybody does. We get that. But God's the one that saves, so that's not on us. We go out and we make disciples. Once they say yes to Jesus, they get baptized as a form of obedience, not a salvation, but to identify with Christ. And now teach them. Teach them. I like what Billy Graham does because my grandfather got saved at a Billy Graham crusade. And one of the things that my grandfather got to experience is when he went forward, my grandma already knew Christ. And when my grandpa went forward, he took grandma with him and they went up there and he met with somebody and he gave his life to Christ. He kind of started that legacy, right, with us.
Then Billy Graham had other people that were close by that said, don't let these people leave without connecting them with somebody that can teach them, that can train them. They can't do this life on their own. I'm sorry, I get a little caught up when I talk about my grandpa. Because my grandpa did this, right? He entrusted to my dad, and my dad entrusted to me, and now I'm entrusting to my son. And we'll get into that. Entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So let me say this. We are to teach all that come to know Christ, right? We are to grab a hold of whoever it is that has come to Christ or somebody. Man, I worked in the college ministry for a long time, and you know, we had young men and women that had got saved, that accepted Christ, and nobody poured into them. So we would grab a hold of them. So wherever they're at in their infant stage, man, we teach them. But here there's a special emphasis on entrusting this message, this truth, this life to those that you can trust to pass it on to others. Right? Paul here, if you guys know about this text, Paul is going to be executed soon. And it's believed this is his last letter, his last writing that's going to be put in the Bible, and he's writing it to Timothy. He's going to be put to death because he's sharing the gospel, because of Jesus. And Paul, so he's going to be executed now. He's passing these things on to Timothy. He's kind of giving instructions on things he's passed on to him. He trusted Timothy, and now he's entrusting Timothy to protect and pass on these truths. Right? He is now responsible. Timothy is now responsible to teach, pass on, and entrust others. Those that Timothy should pass on to are those who are proven spiritual, that have proven spiritual character. Faithful men, what the Bible calls it, right? Faithful men. These faithful men, these faithful women would be able and expected to pass it on to others. My grandfather expected my dad to share it with me, right? And other people. Side note, my grandpa, I love this. My grandpa, when he died, he had a funeral, and this guy, Tony was his name, and my grandpa worked at TWA, and my grandpa, like, he just poured into him. He loved him. He shared Jesus with him. And Tony accepted Christ. And nobody really knew what happened to Tony, but he came back to my grandpa's funeral. And he said, because of what he did, I'm a pastor now. I grew up. I went to the seminary. I'm a pastor. And we've seen this many people come to life because grandpa did this. Right? And just seeing this played out is incredible. This is also exampled by Jesus. He spent time discipling his disciples. He shared the truths of God with a select faithful group. And then he entrusted the truths to them to be passed on. Acts 1:8, right? Jesus said that they are to be his witnesses. Right? Wherever you go, here, there, and everywhere is what we call it, right? Here, there, and everywhere. Be witnesses. And as this, and this is a model that we should be, this is a model that we must be using today. Think about it. Just in one verse, four levels of spiritual generation. Right? Track with me. Paul called Timothy his son in the faith, right? And now he's saying, Timothy, go make me some spiritual grandbabies. That's what he's saying, right? And to be honest with you, church, just as parents say to their kids as they grow up, we get married, my parents are like, we're the grandbabies. Right? When am I going to get grandbabies? We should be saying this to people we're pouring into. Don't pour into them and check out. Right? If Levi's pouring into me, he better be saying, man, who are you pouring into? Where's my spiritual grandbabies? Right? That's a little weird, man, but you know what I mean. Paul teaches and entrusts to Timothy. Paul, in this case, man, from God now, he's the first generation. You tracking? We good? Paul's the first generation. Timothy is the second generation. Timothy is then to teach and entrust to faithful men. The faithful men are the third generation. And then what's it say? And these faithful men are to teach to others. Fourth generation. The others, they're the fourth generation. My buddy and I, again, we meet weekly. And one of the things we are preparing for, that we're studying for, and that we are paying attention to is our spiritual legacy. Our spiritual legacy. Right? My grandfather has a spiritual legacy. You guys know people, and you guys may have a spiritual legacy. Right? A legacy that points others to not us, but to Jesus. But there's still that point where we need to man up or woman up, right? I don't know how you say that to ladies. I'm just a woman up, right? Man up or woman up and say, it might not have happened in my house. It might not have happened with my parents. It might not have happened in my church. I might not have had anybody pour into me, but it will happen with me. We need to get excited about that, church. We need to say, you know what? I don't care what happened before. I don't know what happened with my grandparents, dad, mom and dad, you know. Great-grandparents, right? I don't know if they poured into him and my grandpa just didn't get it. I don't know. But my grandpa made a decision. My life is changing. And I am going to do this. I will learn and grow. I will teach. I will example. I will entrust with others by the grace of God. And here's the crazy truth, church. The discipleship model has been going on for years and years and years. We realize that Jesus did it, but think about the early church. They modeled this. Right? They modeled this. They followed this model. They came to know Christ, they learned, and then they taught. They entrusted others to pass along the same thing. And many years later, someone passed on to someone else, who passed on to someone else, who passed on to someone else, who then passed it on to you. That's amazing. Because we serve a big God. That is a God over all time, over all places. That's an amen right there, right? I mean, we serve a great God. And the question is this, church, does it continue with you? On the funny side of things, man, are you going to have spiritual children and spiritual grandbabies? Or does that line end with you? That's a tough one sometimes, right? This is not a guilt thing. It's not. This is a moment where you say, God, I need you. Because it's ended with me and I kind of want to pick that baton back up. Is your spiritual life reproducing? And I want to kind of give you guys a way to do this practically. You guys, some of you may have heard of this. I personally like and follow the do and watch model. The first step is I do and you watch. The one discipling is leading and teaching and guiding, and the other or others, you know, if it's best to do it in a smaller group, I believe, and the others are simply learning and being led, right? They're just learning and being led. The second step is, okay, now I do and you help. The one leading sees growth and desire in the one that they're teaching, right? They see that and they're like, okay, I see that, and you begin equipping them to do what you do. And I've worked with quite a few people younger than me or I guess younger in the faith than me as well. Some of them, man, they just grow quickly, and some of them it takes a little bit, right? And the leader, he still leads, but he allows the students, the people that he's pouring into, to help however they can. If you guys are ever out here when we're setting up for church, Dan will allow Brandon to do certain things as we're setting up, when we're getting the trailer ready, that type of thing. Right? So he's doing, but he's allowing Brandon to help. The third step is this. You do, and now I help. So we got I do, you watch, I do, you help, you do, and I help. The leader gives more responsibility and more ownership to the other. I think Brandon's gonna start driving my truck. You know, what are you, 8? He's gonna start driving my truck next year because Dan is teaching him. I'm kidding, guys. That's illegal. Okay? Nobody will know. Come on. Go ahead. You allow them to lead more consistently while still being there, right? Parents, we get this, right? Come on, shake your heads. We got this, right? You allow them to lead more consistently while still being there. You're helping and keeping accountable, still teaching and still correcting. It's not time to let off the handlebars yet, right? And fourth step is this. Now you do, and I'm going to watch. And here the leader really places trust in the one learning. You trust them to lead on their own. You watch them because there's still that mentoring that you need to do. There's still a little learning taking place. You give them the reins while you begin to participate and watch. And the fifth step is this. Now, the student becomes the you, right? You do, and someone else watches. That learner becomes you. They become the leader in that next step. The first leader begins this process over with another. So if I'm pouring into Christopher here, I don't just get to stop when Christopher's out going on to do it with somebody else. I'm still going to be accountable with him and check in with him. But now I'm going to go and hang out with Todd or Sam or something. You get what I'm saying? But it doesn't stop. And someone else is now watching that person that you have mentored. And this process repeats and repeats and repeats. And this church is intentional discipleship. I personally call it trickle-down discipleship. Right? You got this one, and then you're pouring into two, and then you've got two over here. I mean, it just works, and it grows. Billy Graham will actually tell you he can't complete the Great Commission by having these large dealy things that he does. What are they called? Crusades, right? He says the Great Commission happens in one-on-one and one-on-two and one-on-three relationships. I felt taller up here. Okay. We begin to intentionally develop everyday people on mission. And you and they do this only by the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit. I remember when I was young, a whole lot younger, and my dad, we at our house, it was time to take the deck down and build a new one. And my dad asked if I wanted to help with the building of this new deck. Right? And I'm like, yeah, let's do this, right? It's guy stuff, right? So at first, my job was boring, but it was needed. I'm just to watch and learn and listen. And I watched as my dad and my grandpa did, and I listened as they instructed. Then my next step was to help them, right? And the first thing that I did is I assisted them. I helped them line up the floorboards, right? I helped them line those up, and I would bring them supplies. The next step was to do some of that myself. I watched and heard as they instructed and exampled for me on how to space out and how to lay them out correctly to make sure I was doing it right. And then they would step in at certain points and they would say, okay, son or grandson, right, what you did over here, man, good job, keep that up, right? And then what you did over here, like, somebody's going to fall and break their neck, right? Don't do that, right? So they would encourage me. Then they really stepped back and just watched as I worked. And on a story, they just sat back and talked and drank sweet tea. That's what we did in Kansas City, right? We just drank sweet tea. But as I was doing what I had been trained to do, but they were close by. They didn't check out on me. They were close by. They also weren't like the, what do they call that, the helicopter mom? You know, they weren't like hovering, but they were there. They were close by. I mean, think about it. If they weren't there and I mess up, that's an expensive medical bill, right? Okay, so I did, but they watched. And finally, it was my time to do. Now, I was a young kid, so I'm not going to have anybody else coming and me teaching. But that next step would be for me to grab a hold of somebody else and teach them what I had learned. It was my responsibility now. And ultimately, check this out. Ultimately, the building of this deck was my dad's work. Right? My dad's work. He was gracious enough to extend it to me. He taught me, he guided me in my hand as I was entrusted to do his work. And it was really cool to work with dad. Right? It's just something about, you know, young guys, and I'm not a girl, so I can't, I'm assuming it's good to hang out with mom and do those things too, but it was just awesome to work with dad. And I look at this discipleship model the same way. It is not our work. Are you guys hearing me today? It is not our work. This church is not my church. It's God's church. Right? And God has taught us. He has entrusted us. He has guided us. And as Jesus stated in the Great Commission, He will be what? With us. As we do His work. And here are a few thoughts for you guys today. If I step on a few toes, I apologize, but I think the Bible steps on toes a lot. It steps on my toes a whole lot. Today you may be sitting back saying, no one has come to me and entrusted this to me. Nobody's come to me and poured into me like this. Or nobody's come to me and taught me how to do this. And why is that? And ask yourself, ask God really, have I shown myself not to be perfect, but to be a faithful man or a woman that will pass that on? I mean, think about that, Right? If you think about one person that's a godly person in your life, right? Think about that one person. They can only pour into so many people. So they're going to pour into people that have shown themselves to be ready to do that, to entrust them with that. Have I even shown a desire and a heart to pass on the message of God? Today you might be saying, I have the ability, I have the heart, and now I just need to take the first step. Right? The step of I do and you watch type thing. Or you might say, you know what? I may be 10 or I may be 100, but I may need to be the one that watches so that I can start doing. Right? Are you in that phase? Are you a person that says, you know what? God has taught me. He has raised me up. He has put people in my life, and that grandbaby thing just kind of stopped with me. I'm not passing it on to anybody else. And I just want to encourage you guys to put yourself out there. And I want to throw this out there real quick. I'm an introvert, as you guys can tell, okay? That was a joke, okay? But people, a lot of times I hear this, I really do. Introverts will say, man, that's what you do for a living, right? That's your job. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says it's our job, right? And then I hear people say, I don't have the outgoing personality. I just don't see that in Scripture where it says, share Jesus if you have an outgoing personality. You know, right? I don't see in here that says only share if you're an extrovert. Right? Think about a time in your life, church, that you grew closer to God. You know, I was asking myself this question yesterday, and that question was, earlier this year, I had a big scare, man. The doctors sent me to the cancer center to check my blood and to run me through all sorts of tests because they thought I had blood cancer. Whew. Talking about sweating and wetting your pants, man. That was scary. But I was able to identify that as... I didn't wet my pants, okay, guys? But that's that moment in my life recently where I can say I grew at that moment closer to Jesus. Why? Because I had to. I was out of my comfort zone. I wasn't in control. And I had to trust God. And many times we grow during times of valleys, pain, suffering, change, right? We grow during that time of stepping out of our comfort zone. I have to go to my wife and I'm just going to be honest with you. One of my stepping out of my comfort zone is learning how to be quiet, you know, and how to be I'm gonna preach to these guys over here, okay? What's it called when you get your alone time? Solitude, quiet time, solitude. Yeah, I mean it was during that. See, I needed this. You guys are being mean to me, but you know that's out of my comfort zone. I sit down in solitude and I start freaking out. I'm just being serious. My brain is going all these ways, and I'm like, I got to do something, right? But I go to my wife, and I said, Jess, teach me how to have solitude, right? We step out of our comfort zone. I just want to tell you, church, it's time. It's time to grow. It's time to just stop coming to church. It's time to just stop being a K-Love Christian. Okay? It's time to be here. It's time to share Jesus. It is time to pray. It is time to trust God. It is time to be on mission for Jesus Christ. Amen? Come on, church. It's time. And today you may be saying, I do this, but I'm missing something. And hear me out, parents, on this one. I'm not doing this in my home. I've known plenty of people that aren't doing this in their home. I'm not doing this with my wife and my kids. Each day, each hour, the Lord gives us opportunity to increase and multiply and disciple our children right in our homes. And talking about being the spiritual Santa Claus where God puts somebody right on your lap, that's your kiddos, right? Your kids are already there. They're watching you. They're learning from you. They're seeing how you act. Right. Amen, right? And they may be ready to go deeper into a knowledge with Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me, parents? It may be that time. Jackson and I, we pray together. Every night before I pray with him, he prays. And sometimes it's simple as this. I love you, Jesus. Amen. Right? What are we doing to help our kids go deeper? What are we doing to help them know Jesus better? What are we doing with them to instruct them and to help them become disciples that make more disciples? And Paul shares with Timothy, and Timothy is to start this over with someone new. And somehow that process made it to you. If you know Jesus today, that process made it to you. Someone shared Jesus with you. Someone stepped out of their comfort zone and it said, you know what? It's time. It's time for me to be on mission for Jesus Christ. It's time for me to share with someone because someone took the time to learn and grow so they could teach you. And what are you going to do? I think the Bible gives us a lot of those. What are you going to do now? What's that next step? What's that next step? And I want to say this, church, again, it's time to move past generic Christianity. Generic Christianity is turning the world against Jesus. It is. God doesn't do generic. God does amazing. Amen? Come on, I'm full of amens today. I got a few left, so you guys got to amen with me. He does transforming. He does growth. And he uses, check this out, he uses a unique you to do his unique mission. My wife would say amen when I say this next. There's not two of Jeff's, right? There's not. There's not two of any of us. We could probably say all amen to those things, right? We could, whoo, right? God uses a unique you to do his unique mission. And let's think about this. Let us be changed. Let us see. Let us share. Let us grow. Let us begin to teach and entrust. Right? Let's multiply. Let's trust God that he knows what he's doing and he's going to use his church to expand the kingdom of God. And I want to do this morning because we can't do this without God. And if you want to do it in your seat, that's fine, but there's just something about taking this step forward. I want to encourage you guys to come forward this morning. I want to ask that you guys would come and you would pray. And you would pray for our church and you would pray for yourselves. And think about these things. God, who do I need to invite into a relationship with you? Who do I need to pour into? Who am I specifically designed and equipped to reach for Jesus Christ? Who do I need to recognize that needs the gospel? Who is in my life already that needs to know Jesus? Or who's in my life already that knows Jesus and I need to pour into and teach so they can do what I'm doing? Church, it's open. Let's pray.